Thank you, musicians, and it's great to be able to sing those songs together, isn't it? To enjoy and be challenged by those words. I've got a visual aid, which some of you might know about, that goes back a long time. Have to be 50 years old, isn't it? At 55 years old, well, thereabouts, this Bible cover. I want to use it as an example of what our text is this morning, which is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 6 to 15. So it's a situation here is that Paul is asking the Corinthians to do what they said about getting together a gift to take to Jerusalem when he was for him to take to the folk of Jerusalem who were under stress and strain and they needed help. As fellow Christians, they were invited to be part of that, and they said they would be, and he's just here reminding them of that and making sure they have the gift ready before he comes to them to pick it up from them. That, and so it's a great one for us to look at to see what challenge us to how we should give. And giving, whoops, usually results in thanksgiving, as we see in this passage and as we've seen in our lifetime. A couple of things I want, a couple of people I want to refer to, a number of people actually, as examples that we've had, Lynn and I have had in our life and we've had in this church, and we've been involved with a number of things. So about putting aside something, doing something that, as these people were asked, we'll just read from 6 through to 15 and then we'll go back through it. But this I say, who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each other give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad and he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for the for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayers for you, who long for you because of your exceeding of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So it's a great passage, and it gives us this example on how we might give. So this is why this is firstly here. It's Lynn's dad used to make these. He was a bootmaker and came up with the idea that most of us had a Bible that needed a cover. So he designed and made Bible covers. But the purpose behind that was that he would sell it to us, probably for 10 shillings or something back in then, which was a lot of money for us, but whatever he sold them for, he gave to missionaries. It was not to run the family, and yet the family still survived and got by, but he did that just as a thing for the missionaries that they were praying for and the ones they knew of. They were able to share with them. And yeah, as Lynn says, they didn't go without. They didn't have much, but they didn't go without. And that was the story back then. We've got a lot here, but most of us don't go without either. So that was the way we were got to be brought up. The next family before we go back to that again was I'm glad David is here because his great grandfather gave us his great grandmother. I get a bit choked up about these people. They're really deep in our heart and had a real impression on us. So the Stair family back in the 1960s, Mr. and Mrs. Stair were part of starting this assembly, and they used to run what we called, well, they called the Second Saturday. You'd go to their house up in Kelmscott, Gemsana, and in the afternoon you could play tennis, and if it was hot, we could swim in the water tank. We'd have a meal that you'd die for, and then Mr. Stair would teach us something from the scriptures. And 30, 40 young people from around the assemblies used to go. And we used to talk about it so in such a way that one of our friends' father heard us talking about let's go upstairs, is what we called it. And he thought that was some religious service, the way we spoke about going upstairs on Saturday. So he didn't know whether to send his son or not, what was going on up there. But we're having a great time getting to know each other and getting to some Bible teaching. So that's some of your heritage there, Dave. And it's been a blessing to us. And if you ever want to think, if you ever think you're too busy to do anything, just come and ask me about what else Mr. Stair used to do. Because if you think you're too busy, then I'll tell you what he did. And you'll say, well, I better go and do something, because he was a Sunday school, he taught the Bible class, was the superintendent, took his turn at the front, and did lots of other things. Yeah, so when you're busier than that, let me know. So that was a great example for us when our teenage, early years, and we did get Mr. Stair to speak at our wedding, didn't we? Get the joke up. He spoke, and we asked him to speak. And he was good, yep. So, and that's the sort of thing that happens when this scripture's been applied. I don't know what the Corinthians did to get the bit of extra money to be able to put aside so that they could send this gift to the saints in Jerusalem, but obviously they would have come up with plenty of ideas of getting a shekel or two or whatever it was called together to give to Paul to take. And then he uses the example of the seed, and the seed came. I learnt more about the seed in Mozambique than I did at home growing up on the little farm at Pinjarra. We did some seeding there, but not a lot. And it wasn't a matter of life and death whether the seed, how much the seed produced. But going with Matt and Deb over there in Mozambique, they plant the corn and they depend on it. And the way the crop goes, that's the way they either have bounty or they go very hungry. And the thought of, and it comes down when you decide in your heart what you're going to give, these people have to plan how much they're going to eat of that seed this year and how much they're going to leave to plant. And when the season's not going too well, it's very tough for them. But what they do, and Matt couldn't understand it for a while, they put three seeds maize in one hole and then go about 400 and put another three. Because they've had a lot, in the past they've had a lot of seeds that don't grow. So the quality of their crop's not really there. But the trouble is with that one, if all three seeds grow, they choke each other. And they don't get a corn cob out of it. But it's okay if one or two go. And so it's a real balance. And he wanted, Matt, you can see, because they used to grow corn higher than you could reach in Pennsylvania, which is some of the best soil in the world. He couldn't understand why they just didn't put a row in, but that's what they did. And he didn't, then he said, well, they're not go there. They've done that for lots of years, and they're here, they survived. So they've had good and bad seasons while they've been there, and they've seen the people have plenty and also have very limited. And yeah, going to visit the families when we're there, you see them eating their evening meal. Well, you know, we wouldn't even call it a snack, I don't think, some of the time. It's just a little bowl, a bit of flavouring in it, and a bit of stuff that, yeah, only keep them alive overnight. Well, it's just enough to survive on. But that's where I learnt more about the seed, how much depended on it. And they harvest their corn and they put it up in above the ground. They build a little hut and put it in, and they keep it there. And they might sell a little bit, but they've got to work out how much they're going to eat, how much it is. And we're like that when we come to put aside to give. When we need to give, we've got to realise that we've got to live the rest of the year. Or that, and for us, it's just the next payday, most of us. So we can work it out a lot easier than those that work on a 12-month salary. How would we go if we got our salary all in one hit? In 1 year, a lot of us would be very broke by the end of it, because we wouldn't be able to judge it. The salary, the weekly or fortnightly salary, is a lot easier, isn't it? And so, but even still, we need to work out what our costs are. So that's where he's saying here, let's purpose in our heart to give, in verse 7. But not begrudgingly or grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And then he's able to make us all grace abound toward us. To provide, if we do, perhaps what we give a little more than we think we should, he will give us the grace and the sufficiency for all things. Because as we get to 9, as the sense of verse 9 is a quote from Psalm 112:9, he has dispersed abroad and given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And that's saying that God has given, he's broadcast a bountiful supply out, and it's there for those, for the poor as well, so that his righteousness is maintained. So there's enough for everyone. So now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for foods, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. So this is when we do give, and the receivers are thankful to God for what has been given to them. And sometimes we give and we don't find out whether how the people have benefited it or whether it's just been survived. But the best thing about giving, and giving when it's laid on your heart, give somebody something and they say, the best answer ever is, I was just praying for that. And God's used you to supply that for me. And that's where these thanks come. They are thankful to you, but they're thankful to God for supplying their need when they ask for it. And to be part of that is really good. But it doesn't happen very often. When we do, I've only probably done that once or twice. But it's been great to have the people respond after you've done a project. And that's the other things I sort of want to say is testimony to that, to these things is some of the other, well, the other example we had that crosses over, actually, the family that Lynn's parents went and helped, assisted in mining a home for children who, or young people who'd come from the north of the state to go to high school, because there was no high schools up in Kununurra, Derby, or them places. Broome, I don't think even Broome had a high school 45, 50 years ago. So anybody who went on to school had to come down to the city. So the Shedley family, Mr. Shedley was up there working on the Ord scheme as a scientist, decided that they would help these children from Aboriginal families up there. They'd bring them down, house them, send them to school. They went to Applecross High, most of them, I think, and they'd look after them, they'd go home for holidays and stuff. But they could have been living in luxury up their house in Applecross, but they decided to share it. And Lynn's dad went up there probably 20 years ago and saw some of these students whom they'd helped. No, thank God, and they thanked the Shedleys and him because they were part of that. So that's what happens when you get involved. And then later on, I had the privilege of going to the Shedleys thing at Kununurra and help them build or plumb out one of the extra houses they were putting on the site, where they were helping the locals there as well as doing what they did with the houses down here. So it was a bit of a crossover there to be involved in it a bit, to be able to get a ride in a truck all the way up to there over 3 days. It was pretty exciting, driving night and day. So getting to know the people, getting to know the Shedleys really well when you do that sort of thing together. And the other one, perhaps with that again, we, group of us, Tony Wiltshire and in his car, we went back to Kununurra and put a roof on a building that wanted to make a Bible school out of. So we were really blessed by just mates being together, driving up there the same and staying there for two weeks and working in pretty hot conditions. But Paul Stephen was one who that stage had hair down to the middle of his back and just wandered in from here, and we'd got to know him and we took him up there because he was a good welder. He welded all the steel up, and really turned him around back to the Lord, and we got to know him better. And so it was a blessing for us and it was a blessing for them. The roof got done. They were able to go on and get the building going. That place now is got the big aerials up for the broadcasting station that sends out the gospel all over Asia and all around our half of the world gets to what they call a 60-40 window or something. 60% of the population's in 40% of the world or something like that, is it? Is that nearly wrong? Yeah, something like that. So this, I haven't seen it, I'd love to see it. There's a big curtain antenna there that now spreads the gospel over that area. So it's all pretty exciting to be part of a little bit of that. That's great. And so I'm trying to encourage you to look around and see what you can do. It's the same as these Corinthians. They got involved, they sent, and the rest of it goes on to say how good it was for them to be able to praise God for what happened and being part of what happened, that God used the Corinthians to do it. And so we can do the same. The other one was another one we got involved with was the Circums. they came from England and went to Karawang Mission Station there. And one weekend we decided that we would go, take almost three or four carloads of us, and we went Friday night, we drove all the way up to Karawang, which is between Kalgoorlie and Coolgardie, and worked all day Saturday, went to church with them on Sunday, and then drove back Sunday afternoon. So we were able to help put a concrete floor in the powerhouse, and ladies, girls did some mending and stuff. And it was one of the coldest days we've tried to work in. Laid a pipeline as well for them and stuff. So we got involved, and the Circums left there and came back to down to Perth for a while, because they had a burden more for the old people than the whole sort of mission scene that was there. So they came and stayed in the house that was next door, and we got to know them in the assembly. The oldest boy was an apprentice, staying with the Pittmans and things like that, and the girls were still at school. So then when they went back, Mr. Circum worked out that the Lord was leading him to Coolgardie to set up a work there with look after the old people. So we first went up, the same thing, everybody in four cars or something, and up there on a Friday night, and he was going to rent a house in Lindsay Street. And so had no toilet and no septic and leach drain, so we got stuck in and did that on the Saturday. And another precious moment, he took us up to the reservation with a couple of Christians, Pluto Hicks and his wife, and we had a break of bread out under the trees next to a couple of humpies. And I remember it well. Really good stuff. Get blessed along the way. So we finished up going a number of times. They got a house transported, got a church, and another house from things. So got to know them really well. And to go to Mr. Circum's 90th birthday, was it? Just before he died, anyway, we had a real rejoicing one. It was his 90th birthday. And to hear him talk about how the Lord had led him. Sorry about that. It's really, really close to my heart. But to hear him talk about the blessings and about Wilson and what we did. So it's, I want to encourage you all to get into it, because it's great. See where you can help. Not that way, you've got other things, you know. Whatever you're doing, whatever you see to do, that brings out the scripture, doesn't it? Whatever you see to do, the Lord wants you to do it. Get in and do it with all your heart. And he will supply your needs. We haven't suffered loss because of it. We went down to Busselton to help them there. We had a bloke run into us. We wrecked our ute, but that's what insurance is for. But we got involved, and it's a blessing to be part of that as well. So we've got a heritage here that we've been involved. Just recently, Richard's been up with Matt and that to see other people. It's we can encourage them. We've sent money to build accommodation in Indonesia, and been involved with the one at up in top of India there, Nepal. We've given money there, and the saints there are rejoicing because we've given. So I think that's where the Thanksgiving part of it comes from. We give thanks to God that we can actually do it. But the people we help, they thank God as well. And that's what happened in Jerusalem. The saints there were, these people out there, they would have thought the Corinthians were sort of second class Christians. They weren't in Jerusalem. should be and all that sort of stuff back then. I imagine there was stuff like that going on, but this taught them that those saints out there, they're real. They put their hand in their pocket and have helped us. And so we are doing the same here, and I want to encourage you to keep doing it. And where you see a chance to get involved yourself, go for it, because there's blessings to be had. You learn, you get experience, you learn of other saints, and you share with them, encourage them as they encourage you. So this little bit of, and then we get to the bottom, 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So just the first little bit of that may be that we've got that opportunity. That gift for us is to get involved, to help other saints. But it's real. I think it really is talking about the indescribable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. That he's, as those songs pointed out so beautifully this morning, that he's died on that cross. My sin that he paid for there, yours, the whole world. It's just an indescribable gift, isn't it? We've just got to enjoy it. And then that little bit on the tape, this on the screen, was that the blood is the only thing. And that what the Lord Jesus did was the only thing. No other way. So by doing things for other people and helping and giving and all, doesn't alter our standing before God as far as our salvation is concerned. It's all about what Jesus did. So we've got to keep that as our focus. It's easy to sort of look, oh, well, I'm good enough, I've done this, I've done that. No. Just that the Lord Jesus died for me. That's the only thing we can stand on, isn't it? So let's give on that basis. Encourage one another and strengthen the saints so we get a chance to. So let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your indescribable gift of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the opportunity for us to serve you, the great almighty God of the universe. We can be part of what you're doing in this community, in this state, and in this world. So Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, and as you lead us, let it help us to give and understand your plan to the little bit that we need to know, so that we can continue to be part of what you want to do. Lord, encourage us this morning, we pray, as we commit our way, as we part. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.